got a good ending. Let me work through it. Scale 4 NUE. So, 4th girl, maybe the 3rd. It's chronologically. I don't really remember, to be honest with you, but... So at the bottom of the checklist, you know, you get a, you know, appearance, you give a score from 1 to 5, and then attitude 1 to 5, and, you know, that kind of thing. Whoever has the highest number, you know, at the end of the evaluation, you know. Well, if you have a family member that is a veteran, you get an additional 5 points. If you have a family member that is a veteran and is a member of the American Legion, you also get 5 points. So you have an option there to get an additional 10 points if they, you know, that kind of matches up there. Well, the 4th young lady, she came in, dressed very nicely, was very engaging. First let me back up. No, I'm sorry. Let me go on. I'll get to that in just a second. Eye contact, yes sir, no sir. And her father was retired Coast Guard. And the guy sitting next to me, one of the evaluators, but he's Coast Guard guy. So you can imagine. Oh, the bantering that went on. You know, you got 3 Army guys and 1 Coast Guard guys, and we're beating up on all of them, you know. And the young lady is just, she's like, I know, I've heard it all, you know, Coast Guard, drive, blah, blah, you know, she bantered right along with us, you know, so, she was real comfortable, you know, and I called her a Coast Guard brat, and she knew exactly what that meant, you know, and just laughed right along with it, so, but she was very knowledgeable, she was, and we were very impressed with her answers. But, it was KK4JBQ. Here is the interesting thing out of all of the questions that struck me the most, Larry, was the 2 young ladies that did the best on the interview toward the middle, 3rd and 4th. Of the interview. When the interview was over and I would go out into the guidance counselor's office and get another young lady to escort her into the room, those 2 young ladies stayed out there with the rest of the interviewees and discussed with them the questions that we were asking. The first 2 young ladies did not do that. They left immediately. But the 2 who did the best shared with the rest of the group what we were asking. Why do you think that is?
You'll understand my word, camaraderie. They were comrades. They all had the same thing in front of them, and those who had experienced it wanted to give an advantage, even though they're giving something away at the same time, the advantage of where they have been already.
Tell me if I'm missing this or if I got it mixed up. You're competing for money for college, and you're competing against other ladies, young ladies, for money for college. But you try to help the other person that you're competing with. I thought that was an amazing thing to see. That went way beyond the questions. That went way beyond the scores in that, you know, hey, I need the money too, but I'm gonna stay out here and help you and tell you what they're asking and what they're looking for. And did I miss that, or am I way off base?
Exactly right. I called it camaraderie. If you are in it with somebody, at least this effort, the effort of the interview, and some people are not so self-centered that they would withhold if asked. Now I'm sure. Well, I don't know if I can say that, but I imagine that it was not the experienced interviewee that began the conversation and started to leak what the questions were about. It was probably they were being asked by someone who needed that information, who wanted very badly to have the advantage of a floor knowledge, so they had a little more time to prepare themselves. It could go either way, but in any case, the two or three people that might have been in that conversation saw themselves on the same ground. And I would have done the same thing. Asked about what the questions were. What does it give you? Another 5 minutes to think about it? Go ahead. Share with that person. You're in the same boat. Share with them what the reality is. I call it camaraderie. KK4JBQ.
KL4NUE. Well, I call it selfless. Selfless or selflessness. You know, no matter what, you know, you put others first. And, you know, I thought that was an amazing thing to see, you know, young ladies in competition for scholarship money. And they're willing to help. And that probably would not have been that obvious if the other two young ladies just skipped out. I think that kind of, you know, you had a direct comparison there. And if you weren't paying attention, you'd miss it. But, you know, I don't miss much with stuff like that. I kind of caught it right up, you know, what was happening. And I don't know, I just had a lot of admiration for that. And so, you know, all in all, I think what we decided was we had enough money, we're just going to give a scholarship to 4 out of 5 ladies. And, you know, I think we kind of felt comfortable with that. And I thought that was, you know, Commander made the right decision to do that. I think he's been doing this a while, and he understands the deal.
Well, I had my suspicions. Maybe that's the best way to put it. That particular element of the competition was not going to be shared. And you didn't share it prematurely either. But I thought to myself, it's likely going to be more than one. That it was 4 out of 5 really impresses me. and generally speaking, that's really the very best outcome for everybody concerned. I'm just hearing it, and I think it's the best outcome. But you know, you'll never forget those people that you met. Never forget what they said or how difficult it was for them to find anything to say. You know, Already, your experiences as an officer has showed itself as a real source of treasure. That's what responsibility can be. I have known a little bit in my life, and in every case, when I realized responsibility was on me, it didn't take long for it to cause a change. I had different stuff almost immediately. I dug in there, and somewhere I found the stuff that it was going to take to make it work. This is a life lesson that comes to everyone in a different way. But I'm just tickled that you have this opportunity for leadership, and you'll gain a great deal. I'm happy for you. KK4JBQ.
KL4NUE. So, I guess the last thing about that was the young ladies. Two of the young ladies had service members in their family, so they got the additional 5 points. But one of the young ladies she wrote down, you know, one of the questions on the application was, do you have a family member that is a veteran? If so, you know, what branch, what campaign, what year, what years? And she put down U.S. Navy, 41 to 43. And, of course, that was just a flag to me just as soon as I saw that, you know. And I said, so U.S. Navy, 1941 to 43, tell me about your grandfather. What did he do in the Navy? Where was he? What campaign? Blah, blah, blah. And I was very disappointed with the answer. I really was. She said, honestly, I do not know. I think she called him Papa or Papa or something. I kind of missed that. But she said he didn't talk about it much. And you know, he's no longer with us, and I honestly, she said, I really don't know. And, hang on. UE with KK4JBQ. So I told her, you know, I said, I want to strongly encourage you to, you know, go back and talk with some of the family members and find out what he did, you know, in the Navy. Where did he serve? What did he do? What was his contribution? You know, and I said that would be an amazing, you know, an amazing story for you to, you know, to research and find out, you know. And she agreed she would. Now, whether she does or not, I don't know. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Saw some amazing things happen between the young ladies in competition, you know. But the young lady was just said, well, now, matter of fact, I'm on the shooting team here at the high school. And I just thought, oh, boy, here we go. And she, oh, boy, you would have heard her answer with the Second Amendment. Oh, she knew the deal.
If you're not afraid of a firearm, you'll pick it up. And if you pick it up and you have the right mindset, you don't wonder what to do with it. First thing. Second thing. And then you can lay it down. I feel fortunate in a way. I've talked with people who've never had anything to do. And I've talked with people who thought it was nothing but an excitement stick. You know, something that goes boom. Human beings, there's just every possibility. It's all there. Everywhere from an expert marksman to someone who's wouldn't want to be in the same room with a firearm. And everybody has an opinion. Everybody comes down somewhere. I was given what I know, and I was given opportunity for experience. And for that, I can't take credit for that. But what I learned with that afterwards in adult life, that was up to me. And how I view it, personally, has more to do with the others around me. Because, you know, if the Second Amendment is for you, it's also for everybody. And my concern is that everyone should have a knowledge and not a fear. And that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. It goes to what we were talking to earlier. What parents give to children. There's so many facets to that. There's so many possibilities to that. It's so terribly important because taken all together, it becomes attitude. What is your attitude? That runs the gamut. It's all over the place. I can have a conversation I can have a conversation with Chris about breaking down a firearm. And he and I have not met face-to-face, but it's a conversation we need to get to pretty quick because I'd be pressing it. I want to know a little bit about what it's like to be knowledgeable in to that extent. I have taken firearms apart and imagined what that particular part, what it served in the whole, how its function was terribly critical, and how it relayed all down through the chain. It's sort of a pattern the way life works. We all stand in a chain, don't we? Hand in hand. And it don't work until we're all aware of what our purpose is. And some folks just don't know. The pity is they don't know they should know. Oh, golly. You know, I hope that Chris will be up to doing that. I guess I'll find out someday. Maybe he'll take me into his shop. Does he have a shop?
Absolutely. He's got a fine machine shop. And very, very skilled. Very skilled with firearms. You know, has a license to do so and permits and all that. But, yeah, he's forgot more than I will ever know. That kind of guy, you know.
Well, my dad was good with firearms, but he wouldn't take anything apart. I took everything apart as a kid. I took my mama's vacuum cleaner apart. I took her sewing machine apart. I got busted up pretty good for that. but I gave in to my curiosity, and that never stopped. It's still with me. It isn't that I want to see what's in the box. It's what can I do with what's in the box? how can I make it better? With a limited knowledge, and, you know, not to interfere with what its original purpose was, of course, you have all these things that guide you through the maze of something you're unfamiliar with. But I've been taking things apart and putting them back together better than I found them since I was a child. And it's something I wouldn't give anything. I wouldn't take anything for that knowledge, that thrill. But then you come to the one question I really wish I could, you know, I wish I could have a, what they call a verbatim, which is a word-for-word account of what was said during that that question and answer on the Second Amendment. You're very privileged to be there and to ask that question of people so young. I just think this is fascinating. What a thing. Well, me. It's natural. It's understandable why you were disappointed. I do understand that. But as I said, I'm not disappointed in that individual. They just weren't given what they needed to know. And maybe that comes from somebody who didn't have it. And that's the shame. As a society, there are things that we need to pass along. Critical things. Absolutely critical things we need to pass along. And, yeah. Falling down on the job, that just don't cover it. But that's been happening generation after generation. You know, the results are going to be predictable, maybe. Predictable. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, well, that has been my past couple of weeks, I guess. We have bingo at the American Legion every Friday night to try to raise money for, we've got some charities that we, you know, donate the money to. And our post is one of the few posts that still does the 21 gun salute for, you know, deceased members and the honor guard. They're pretty active. And, you know, I help them out where I can. But we sell hot dogs every Friday night. Well, I'm tired of me and a friend of mine that's in the Legion with me. We both ran for officers' positions, and we, you know, we got elected, so we decided we're gonna change things up a little bit. So me and him have kind of taken over the canteen, and we actually cook a meal. You know, we still serve the hot dogs. But, man, I'm telling you, tonight was spaghetti night. I couldn't go because, you know, graduation. But last week was sliders and then barbecue sliders. And then we had potato soup, chicken and dumplings one night. And, you know, ham sandwiches with fresh bread. We go up there on Thursdays, and I'll, you know, bake bread all day on Thursday because, you know, I cook food for the BFW and the American Legion. So just kind of stay busy with that. And I think they were glad to get rid of the hot dogs, too, because the potato soup went like crazy.
Sounds like good grub to me. I've gotten to a point where fancy foods, oh, let's just say Food's from places I've never heard of. And but Donna likes watching cooking shows. And I don't mind that. I mean, I really don't. But if it's a dish whose name is retained, I mean, the original language, the French language or the, you know, there's a lot of French food, and the words remain the same. So we watch a show called Cook's Country. And it's they've gotten on this kick lately of meals from different countries around the world, and they address it by the name used there, and it's I can't pronounce it. I can't mimic what they say, the way they say it. And of course, if I see it on the screen, it's the letters don't fall in a. In a pattern that I can pronounce, I can't say the word. I get confused right up front. Now the grub, that looks good. I'm just a simple person. My mama taught me to appreciate gravy on biscuits. Biscuits and gravy. That was every meal. And the little change up that she made every now and again, whether it was chicken or it was ham or if it was beef or, you know, we ate well as kids. We grew up, didn't we? And so I'm very simple in my taste for food. I'm proud that I can eat just about anything. My dad told me that a day would come when I would be happy to have anything, and he was right. Well, anyway, what you were saying about the honor guard and the actions taken as an honor guard. Is the word dressage, is that the word?
I'm not sure. Corsage as in a flower corsage? Or I'm not sure I've ever heard that word, Larry.
A corsage is a group of flowers. Dressage is... It begins with a D first, you know, and I'm the worst speller that the world ever produced. I cannot spell dressage. It's sort of like dress and sage together. Dressage. It just seems to be that's what I've heard. The actions taken if someone coming in the room full dress. With a firearm, and they go through motions, which might include during a salute with that you might find in a military service. It just seems like that's the right word. Did I clean it up? Dressage?
Of involving the execution of precise movements by training. So I guess that would fit the category. I think it's geared toward more horses than it is men, but I guess it would fall into that. But yeah, we're quite proud of the post because, you know, it's not a lot of posts that do the gun salutes anymore, and the old guys look pretty sharp, to be honest with you. You know, they bunch of crotchety fellas, but when you need them, hey, they're there. That's all that matters, right?
Being crotchety is something that that's something you become entitled to. I've known old people. I am becoming an old person myself. Can't stop that. Don't want to stop that right yet. The word crotchety, though, I think that should be held in reserve. I don't... crotchety. That doesn't sound good. And I understand the word dressage as it applies to horses. There was a time in my life when I was real big into horses. Not because my family was well off, but I worked for families who were well off. I kept the stables. One of the crew that kept the stables, with the hard work that's necessary to keep everything on. And I loved every minute of it. Hard, you know, cleaning a stall and taking care of the horse's needs. A lot of that's pretty hard work. The most enjoyable, this might sound crazy, but the most enjoyable part of it was learning from a furrier how to shoe a horse. I didn't think I'd ever have an opportunity to get that close to an animal that big and do that job. But when he found out that I was interested, he was on fire. He said, "Come on over here. Let me show you the tools you're going to use." And right then, my heart dropped, you know. I felt, goodness, what's he going to expect? Well, he expected the whole boat. He gave me the right rear. And he'd shown me how to hold it, how to dress it, how to shoe that horse. And I'll never forget. Yeah, so dressage, I was a barn rat, as we were called, the horse barn. We stabled, about 40 head and took care of their every need. It was a great, I was doing that a couple of years as a kid. I was in high school, but I was the youngest person there, not in age, but in experience. So the other barn rats, they had to get everything on me, you know. I never forget that one day. There was a horse that I would learn later was trained to only carry females. They know the difference. And so they said, "Get on up on that horse." And it was a stallion, a black stallion, most beautiful horse. I couldn't wait to get up there. And as soon as I got up there, that horse did a rear that sent me about 14 feet in the air. I was not hanging on, not as I should have been, not prepared for it. And everybody just cackled. And I was proud to be alive to look up from that. The horse had been calmed down by that time, and they explained it. I lived through it, that's all I can say. And I came to know firsthand that horses, they know their riders. We should do as well to, I don't know, pick the people we hang around with. I'll put it that way. It's for some people it's a skill, and for other people it's an instinct. You know what I mean? KK4JBQ.
I didn't have much luck with horses. I spent a little time with them when I was younger, and got on a horse one time, and he didn't want me there. He didn't buck me off, but he he knew what he was doing. Let me put it that way. He tried to take me off with a low limb and a heartbeat, but like I said, I just didn't have much to do with them, I guess, after that. But I think they're magnificent animals. But anyway, Larry, I'm going to call it quits, I guess, here in a few minutes. I'm starting to show my tired a little bit, and just wanted to catch up with you and let you know what was going on around here. And nice talking to you. It's been a while since I've, had time, really, to catch up with you. And I was going to let you know, I saw Robert the other day. He came out here and had a little party needed help with. And he come out and visited for a few minutes, and it's good to see him too. But anyway, I'm all clear on out, Larry. I'll be clear on your final, sir.
Hey, Van. Well, I'm real proud that you asked that I stay back and we had this little chat. It's great to catch up. You've seen Robert since I've seen him. He has retired recently. I imagine that was a little bit of the conversation. And he's slowly changing into a retired person. He's taking on a lot more responsibility in amateur radio. And that's where he should put his efforts. He's real good at it. Retiring is he approached that with a lot of trepidation. He was not sure he was going to like that at all. But it didn't take long. When he was when his employer was dispatched, it didn't take long for him to take a look in the mirror and see himself as a free man. and he and his wife Deb are fine people. They're grandparents and great grandparents too. It's a grand thing. It's the thread of life. It's a marvelous thing. So, thank you for this conversation. I will carry it with me. And you have yourself a good night. I hope we can catch up like this again real soon. And until then, say hi to Anna for me. And yes, you are invested in the club and other things as well, but I'll take this opportunity to say thank you for what you've done for that club. I think I speak with the rest of the group. Just marvelous job. Thank you, sir. Get yourself some good rest. We'll talk again soon. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
Clear frequency.